I'd like to invite you on a little bit of a road trip with me. The week after Christmas, my family, we went away for a week or so, went up to Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And my daughter, Elizabeth, and her husband, Danny, who live in Connecticut, went to the Cape and with one of our grand dogs, a golden retriever called Cadence. My daughter teaches music, thus the name Cadence. And then my younger daughter, Rebecca, and Mary and I, and Rebecca's dog, our other grand dog, a corgi named Watson, went with us, and we drove up to the Cape and all got together there for about a week, and also got to catch up with my brother and his family as well. So we drove up, and you know, if you've ever driven up to the Northeast, you just inevitably, 95 is somehow part of that route. You can try to get sideways and around it, but inevitably you're somewhere on 95. So we're driving and came to one of the first cities you come to is Richmond, Virginia. You know, and I've driven this route many times over the years, very familiar with it. But do you ever see something that maybe you haven't noticed before and you wonder why you're seeing it? Like, what is it that I'm seeing it for? What is this saying to me? So we're driving up to Richmond. If you've ever driven this route, we're driving north, and you can see the skyline of Richmond. As we're driving through, I noticed the buildings, which I've always seen. These tall buildings have names on the top of them. Big, tall buildings. Bank of America. Wells Fargo. I think one said SunTrust. I'm not sure of all the bank names, but they all had banking names on them. And I somehow that kind of leapt out at me. I was paying attention to driving on the road, but seeing these signs, they acted almost like, you know, in ancient cultures, they would have like a totem at the entrance to the village that kind of gave you a sense of where you're entering. And these buildings so strategically faced 95, you know, as you're driving up. So I saw that and saw those buildings with the names on them. And I turned to Mary, who she gets used to this. I said to Mary, I think there's somehow a homily brewing here. I don't know what it is. So we continue driving, and it's a long trip, so we stayed overnight in a hotel before we headed to the Cape. But as we're continuing on 95, we're going through Connecticut, Massachusetts, and we came to Fall River, Massachusetts. You go over this bridge, a little bit of a river, and I noticed as we came over the bridge, there was kind of a hillside of a Fall River, and there were buildings there, too. There were tall buildings there as well, but they weren't buildings with bank names on them. They were actually the spires of churches. If you ever go through that area, it just strikes you with all these churches just sitting all over the place with these tall spires. And I would suspect when those churches were built, you know, the Lutherans were probably competing with the Methodists to have the tallest spires in town. I'm not going to, you know, deny that. But these tall spires that stood above this town, city of Fall River, and that image just struck me. Just tall buildings with banks, names on them, which to me spoke of sort of the marketplace, you know, the resources, power, strength, trying to proclaim this. And then this other town where I saw these church spires speaking of that kind of calling the village towards something, you know, aspiring to something. As we were driving the day before, we were driving up 95, and inevitably we look over at the skyline of Manhattan to the right. Some of you may be familiar with this drive, some of you may not. But you know me, the New Yorker. But I look over, and that's just that wonderful skyline. And it strikes me, and you see tall buildings and they have names on them. But in the midst of those tall buildings, there are churches. There are church spires. From our own Episcopal tradition, Trinity Church, Wall Street. If you're ever familiar with that church, Trinity Church, Wall Street, was once the tallest building in Manhattan. The original church burned. They built another one, but it's the tallest church in Manhattan. At that time, Manhattan, though, was everything south of Wall Street, the lower Manhattan. It was the tallest church. But now it stands, if you could picture this aisle as Wall Street, it stands at the foot of Wall Street. And down that in that area are tall buildings that don't even need names on them. The Stock Exchange, all these tall buildings that speak. And yet Trinity Church sits in the midst of that. Just Think of the symbolism of that. If you go further up into New York, into Manhattan, if you've ever been there, St. Patrick's Cathedral, a well-known cathedral, sits in the middle of Manhattan with its tall spires reaching up into the sky. St. Patrick's was, when it was built in the middle of fields. There was nothing around. Now, if you stand in front of that cathedral, there are tall buildings. Just a few blocks up from St. Patrick's Cathedral is one big tall building that has a name on it, begins with the letter T. Trump Tower stands there as another symbol of these tall buildings that speak so much of the marketplace, and yet St. Patrick's Cathedral stands there. That image of buildings, banking names, people with names on them to show power, and yet the spires that call forth something in our lives. I don't know if you're familiar with David Brooks, who is a columnist for the New York Times. And he has written a book, which I've not read yet, but I want to get to, called The Road to Character. It's called The Road to Character. And in this book, I read this in the review, he talks about the virtues of society and culture. And he talks about what are called resume virtues. The resume virtues are the he describes them as the skills you bring to the marketplace, strength, power, influence, control, and they're the things we put on our resumes, you know, to make people notice us. It's more of a look at me kind of. Oftentimes, a resume is a look at me. There's so many websites out there who will assure you that if you give your resume to them, they will get it to the top of the pile. You know, the resume virtues, the virtues that we talk about to be successful. And that's good. It's okay. But he also speaks of, besides the resume virtues, he uses this phrase, I like this phrase, he calls them the eulogy virtues. The eulogy virtues. That things that are said about us at our funeral, things like, were you kind? Were you loving? Were you brave? Were you generous? You know, those ways that we live our lives. And that strikes me, the resume virtues and the eulogy virtues. And you know, as I think about that, it strikes me that I wonder if those spires call us to that goodness. In the midst of the marketplace, perhaps the spires are no longer the tallest structures in our culture today or in our time, but perhaps those spires can call us to that kind of presence in the midst of the marketplace, in the shadows of the tall buildings, in the shadows of the darkness of what surrounds us so often, that perhaps we are being called to be those spires that reach out in the midst of the marketplace, calling us to something even beyond ourselves. At St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, there are, at each side of the street, there are these two symbols. There are the spires of St. Patrick's Cathedral. And then right across the street, there's this statue in front of a big building. And I think it's Atlas. But he's standing there, like knees bent, and holding the globe, the earth, on his shoulders, so much symbolizing the weight, the heaviness, the load that we so often feel, perhaps in our lives, and that symbolism of carrying that. And yet right across the street, facing him, are the spires of a cathedral that call us perhaps beyond something more than what we are carrying and realizing. And I wonder if that's what we're being called to be. Those symbols, as I said to Mary, there's a homily brewing somewhere in me, and I'm working this through in my own mind. Those two symbols, all part of our lives. This isn't about one's good, one's bad. This is something about the two sides of a coin. And we need that kind of balance, I wonder, in our lives. And I think we need those spires in our world today. We need that call to goodness and generosity and loving in our political world. We need it in our cities. We need it in our towns. We need that. And perhaps this feast of the Epiphany that we celebrate today, this feast of the wise men, as we call them, coming to the Christ. You know, in the way Matthew tells this story, in Matthew's version of the birth of Jesus, Jesus was born at his home in Bethlehem. Sometimes forget that. Luke tells one story, Matthew tells a different story. But they both come together in a good way, symbolized in the manger. But the wise, so Jesus is born in his hometown of Bethlehem, in his home, and it's said that these wise men eventually come to see this Christ. The symbolism of that for Matthew is that these wise men are not of the Jewish tradition. They are the other. They are the ones beyond where the Jewish people experience their lives. They come from another place. They come from another world. They cross borders to get to Jesus, the Christ. And they see the Christ. And, of course, they tell of this. They give gifts, and they tell of this dream they had. And eventually, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph have to leave their hometown because their lives are in danger. And they become refugees. They become refugees. And this isn't just being said because of what we're dealing with today in the political world. But they were refugees who leave their town and can never come back and live as immigrants in other places. Eventually they get to Nazareth, where it's believed Jesus grew up. But at the end of Jesus' life, he does come back to his home area, where he eventually preaches. The light is a spire in the midst of that world. And eventually he gives his life for that light, for that goodness, for that generosity, for that loving, for those eulogy virtues. Jesus offers his life. And perhaps we today can be the light in our world. We don't have to build buildings with spires, but perhaps we are called to be those spires. We are called to be that light. We are called to stand in the shadows of the marketplace, sometimes the darkness of the marketplace, and proclaim a light, proclaim something different, proclaim something good, proclaim hopefulness and goodness and generosity and lovingness as we go forth today. So thanks for going with me on my road trip, and allow those symbols perhaps sit with you, and how this Feast of the Epiphany can call us forth as individuals and as a parish community to be spires of light in the darkness of our world today.